Hi, I'm Emily Previty.
And I'm Stephanie Marudis.
We're the co-creators of Obscured, Kuvenda Media's podcast about critical issues that don't get much attention because they're complex, overshadowed, and happen largely out of the public eye.
We're wrapping up our first limited series, From Words to Weapons, which has focused on survivors of law enforcement trauma. And on this episode, we're going to update you on several reporting developments that have taken place since our series rolled out. So, Emily, as the lead for our series, could you briefly share with our listeners why we decided to pursue this topic in the first place?
Yeah. Just for everyone's background, I covered police accountability and excessive force previously. And we detailed that in our first episode of Obscured, along with how Stephanie and I ended up collaborating and launching this podcast. So if you're interested, check that out. As far as the From Words to Weapons series, we decided to focus on law enforcement trauma after I talked to Maya Anderson about her work developing a protocol for caring for survivors of law enforcement trauma. Maya runs the undergraduate and graduate nursing programs at Morgan State University in Baltimore. She's also a forensic nurse and a sexual assault nurse examiner, still practicing in addition to her academic role. So she's thinking about this in a healthcare context, mainly the emergency department. And I contacted Maya after seeing her in a speaker's lineup for a forensic nursing conference.
Yeah, and that was during the time when you were reporting a couple of episodes about sexual assault exams for At the Core of Care, which is a podcast that we produce in collaboration with the National Nurse-Led Care Consortium and the Pennsylvania Action Coalition.
Right. I intended to talk to Maya about her experience with sexual assault exams, but her talk for this conference was about a forensic approach to caring for survivors of law enforcement violence, and that ended up driving our conversation.
And at that point, we hadn't yet settled on a focus for our first season of Obscured. And it turns out that Maya and her work really played a significant role in our decision in terms of what we would focus on for our first series. And you can hear Maya in episode 7 of the series. That's an episode that was reported by Emily. And Maya discusses her work in detail and how law enforcement trauma survivors really don't get the kind of support that's available to survivors of other forms of trauma. Emily also reports about what the potential path forward might be and some of the obstacles getting in the way. So definitely check out that episode.
Since then, Maya has connected with another organization of forensic nurses, DC Forensic Nurse Examiners, based in Washington, DC. And they've teamed up to try to take her work to the next level. They're moving pretty quickly, so she has high hopes for this collaboration.
That's something that Maya actually shared during a recent panel discussion earlier this year about survivors of violence. That was a panel put on by the women of Fells at the University of Pennsylvania's Fells Institute of Government, the Anti-Violence Partnership of Philadelphia, Morgan State University School of Nursing, where Maya works, and us over here at Obscured.
From my perspective, in terms of what we're doing, we're starting with building a pilot program with DCF&E. Myself and my co-authors around the algorithm that we've developed. And so we're looking for private funding to start. And then past that, if you are building something or starting out, you can't necessarily seek funding until you've actually established a pilot. You have some sort of results to speak to. So that's where we are. And then we'll look for additional funding past that, continuing to present our model, continuing to work with other disciplines on expanding the model outside of forensic nursing to make it a more balanced model for the victims of violence.
Now, Emily, I know you did a ton of reporting for the series, and you did end up having conversations with sources who didn't ultimately make it into the podcast, but did provide you with helpful background information and context. Could you tell us a bit about that?
Sure. The one that sticks out most was with MJ Smith, who's an Equal Justice Works Fellow in Washington, D.C., focused on medical legal partnerships and community violence interventions.
A lot of what we see, to be honest, is just like extremely common across the country. I've interviewed programs that are similar to mine, and pretty much across the entire country, I heard stories of folks experiencing police abuse. So that ranges from people being subjected to questioning when they've said that they're not interested in engaging with the police. It could be the police like running that person's name in their system, finding out that they have a bench warrant for something like child support arrears, and then that person gets shackled to their bed after a traumatic violent injury. The other big thing that I see a lot of is the police taking folks' property. So cell phones often get taken, wallets with IDs. I have been trying to find legal solutions to these problems because honestly, that's really the only recourse that's available. And it is extremely challenging to try to find lawyers who can take these cases. You basically have to file a civil rights action against the police. You can file something with the police complaint division, but most of the time that goes nowhere.
MJ has researched similar programs and interviewed people working on this issue across the country, and then helped develop a toolkit for medical professionals on navigating law enforcement in the emergency department, in particular, patient privacy. That's not what Maya is working on, but it's the closest thing I came across, and certainly it's related.
Another question for you. At the end of episode 5 about law enforcement accountability, you mentioned here in Philly that there's a potential for police disciplinary decisions to be negated, basically in the long term. What's the latest on that?
So, yeah, what you described, these disciplinary decisions not really sticking permanently in the long term, it seems like it might happen quite often and have a wide impact, almost like a snowballing type of effect on police department culture and public safety more broadly. So we filed a right to know request with the city of Philadelphia on this. The city does post some of these documents on its website, but they represent a fraction of what I believe is likely out there based on what I've learned in my reporting. Under Pennsylvania state law, public agencies can respond and say, give us a month to get this together, which they did. And as part of their final response a month later, they denied. So they gave us some things but denied others, and we could challenge that, which is usually a time-consuming and costly endeavor, especially in Pennsylvania. This state really does make it hard to access information that's often readily available in other states, including multiple, where I had reported for years. We get into that a little bit more in episode 6 of our series during our discussion with Brett Schultes, my former colleague and an investigative reporter for LNP in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Brett spent years fighting for public records that were involved in his reporting on how county jails deal with mental health. And he won awards for his work, even if he didn't always prevail in court. So, all to say, these requests do take time, arguably too much time, and the outcome is far from certain in favor of transparency. So before we embark on challenging the city on their denial of some of these records, hopefully instead of embarking on that, we need to know what precisely is there but not being released. So that's the next step, and unfortunately, I have to ask our listeners again to stay tuned. I wish I had more to share here.
Well, we truly appreciate everyone who's been listening to our series so far, and we do hope that you will please share it with one or two other people you know. It's an important topic. The reporting and our discussions cover a lot of ground, and hopefully our series has provided you with new insights and understanding that you might not have had before.
Obscured is produced by Kuvenda Media and mixed by Brad Linder. The music for this episode and the rest of our From Words to Weapons series was composed by Malik Calhoun. For more about our work, make sure to sign up for our newsletter at kuvendamedia.com. And follow us on social at Kuvenda Media.
Special thanks to Obscured's fiscal sponsor, Media Alliance, which is one of the oldest media change organizations in the United States and helps our podcast receive tax-deductible contributions. And we're grateful to Obscured's founding supporters who've made donations to support our journalism initiative.
You can help more people discover Obscured by leaving us a review on your favorite podcast app and sharing the podcast with others. I'm Emily Previty, executive editor and co-creator of Obscured.
And I'm Stephanie Marutis, Kuvenda Media's executive producer and Obscured's co-creator. Thanks for listening.